would love to see him this morning.
Amen.
Just turn around, look around.
That's right.
You'll see him. Amen. That's how simple it is. Simple gospel. Amen. Amen. Let's just go ahead and let the musicians have their seats. Just appreciate the song service and all the songs. It's good to be with you today. Just remember those who are traveling and those that are not feeling well. My wife was going to be here this morning, but one of the little ones woke up not feeling well this morning, so I think she was trying to not spread something to our little ones. So just pray for them. Just wanted to make a little bit of an announcement. Want to tell you to be sure to mark your calendar. We're going to be planning on some meetings for the New Year's weekend, not just New Year's Eve, but for that weekend. Something that was on my heart, and I guess the Lord spoke to Brother Jeremy Schreiner at the same time. I was thinking about him on the way home, and I got home a few minutes later, and he texted me, and I said, I was thinking about you. And he said, well, I was too. And so there were about two or three different points about the whole plan that he and I both had the same idea. And so we're planning on having meetings that weekend. So mark your calendar. We know it's early enough now that we can announce it and let everybody make plans. So we're going to take care of that. Get your songs ready. Get your worship ready for that weekend. Just expect something really good from the Lord. So just remember that and be in prayer for that. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Now, I'm going to read several scriptures this morning, and she'll have them on the multimedia maybe to help with time. You can just read from the multimedia screen if you haven't returned to so many of them. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 through 16. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So we know that's talking about the Lord Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. We know that that was Israel that was separated, northern Israel and Judah. And by the time the Lord Jesus came on the scene, they had both of them had been no kings and had been carried away into Babylon and all that. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Paul speaking says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 24. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And in Romans chapter 12, begin verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things that condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Prove things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And we can say amen.
Amen.
Good instructions. Let's just pray. Lord, we just come to you this morning with just a joy in our hearts to know that we are believers, we are Christians, Lord, that we have you as our captain, you're our champion, Lord, you're our hero. Lord, we just come to you this morning and ask God that you just take this service in your hands, speak to the hearts of your children, Lord, that you just impart into them good things, Lord, that would help them in their daily walk. We pray, God, that you would just fix anything that needs to be fixed, Lord. And in just the simplicity of the gospel, we know that you're here and can do those things. And so we just surrender to you now. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And that means happy in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we live in a golden age. You know, I know the devil don't want you to think that, and I know that when you're going through battles and you're fighting things left and right, that that's probably the farthest thing from your mind. But brother, sister, you know, just like when the Lord was here, and he would say to them, you know, pointing back to the Old Testament, said there are many prophets and many righteous men that desired to see the day that they were seeing then and had not seen it. And yet there were people there who were seeing it and could not recognize it for what it was. And I believe we can say the same thing today. We live in a day and we are partakers of things that many people, many righteous men, many saints throughout the new, even through the church ages, would desire to see what you and I see and know what you and I know and could not know it.
Yeah.
And so we live in a very wonderful age and an age of grand opportunity, because other ages did not have access to the revelation of Jesus Christ like we have.
Right.
And so, me personally, I believe that the message has come in this day to fix everything that was wrong in the church. We know the church, even the early church, and I can show you a quote about this, but even the early church, even though they got the Holy Ghost, come out of the upper room, even they did not have what God has for us. And none of those churches of those ages took a rapture, not one. And so God's got something greater. Even the scriptures, as Paul would say, that, you know, they without us cannot be made perfect. It takes what God would do in this day even to go back and finish redemption up for them. And so we know it's a wonderful time. And so I believe the message came to fix the things that need to be fixed. And as the scripture said, that we would go off, you know, into falling away, as the scripture said, which is a denying of the faith and defecting from the truth. And so we needed it. And so it came to fix the things that are wrong, came to make us ready for rapture.
Right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Came to us to take us and take us from church to bride. To take us from just, you know, I'll say it this way, to take us not just from sons of God, but to adopted, to placed sons of God.
Right.
And, you know, even if you don't believe that this is that, like on the day of Pentecost, this is that, right? Well, if you don't even if you don't believe this is like, this is that, you have to look and know that surely something would have to come at the end time to fix these things. I believe the message that this message is here to do that, and that's exactly what it is doing. I believe when the scripture said he will present to himself a bride without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. I believe this message is doing that right now.
Right.
And so I say that because I know there's a lot of people maybe listening and so forth that don't know that. And, you know, as for me as a minister, and I think Brother Daniel probably could say this too, you know, in our calling, we see things as watchmen. We see things maybe that other people don't see just yet. And I have to always remember that when I'm something looks clear to me because of the call that I have and I see it, I have to remember that maybe others don't see that yet.
Right.
But I believe they will, because God is here to present to himself a people. And I say that humbly. I'm not saying that like I'm some big something. That's not at all. I'm just saying, you know, everybody's on different levels, and we all have to remember those things. And so, a lot of people may not see yet that this is that, but I believe it is, and I've given my life to it. And so, I gave my life to the gospel before I ever heard of an end time message, because it just made a change for me. Like I said, my wife could tell you, you know, she told friends and people, she said, I thought I was going to lose my husband to his running buddies when I ran, you know, before getting married and so forth, going to run around partying or whatever. And she said, I thought I was going to lose my husband to that because we were married and I'm still running. But she said, then I thought I was going to lose him to his God because of the change that it had made.
Yeah.
So God is a God that can change.
Amen.
And he can change you and move you. And so, even if people don't believe that this is it, I believe it is. And surely something would have to come, because none of those ages had a rapture. Right?
Right.
And we're promised that. And so we want to just keep moving here this morning as I want to share these things. You know, the Bible is very clear with what things are allowed and what aren't allowed. I just read all those scriptures about all the different things there that God rejects. But he also showed that he can save us from those things and change us from those things. And so he's very clear what God will allow and what he won't allow. He vets what comes into his kingdom. And so we're familiar with this phrase. We say it all the time, and I could never emphasize it too much, I don't think, is that death doesn't change us. It just changes our dwelling place. We go in the scriptures and we can see that Samuel the prophet had been dead for, I think, a couple of years. And when Saul got into trouble, he went and inquired through the witch of Endor, and she called up Samuel. Mm-hmm. And here's Samuel, been dead for 2 years, but Samuel was still a prophet.
That's right.
And not only was he still a prophet, he prophesied from that dimension and was right. It was correct. So he was still... See, it doesn't change you. Death doesn't change you.
Right.
So, you know, Brother Brown will still be a prophet, right? Because Samuel was still a prophet.
Right.
I'll still be a minister. Brother Daniel will still be a minister, right?
Yeah.
And so, like Brother Brown said, if you're a hothead here, you would be that there.
That's right.
So you won't be there, because that doesn't belong in that realm and in that dimension. And so it's very clear what God will allow there and what he won't allow there. Mm-hmm. And so we realize that the change in our life has to happen here.
Right.
Because whatever we are on the day that rapture comes, that's what we'll be.
Yep.
And so it has to happen here. And so we have to be made ready here. And so this morning, I forgot to tell you, I'm just tired of this building character. And so, or character building, whichever way you want to look at it. There is a proper character that Christians and believers must have in order to fit there, to go into that place.
Right.
See? Because liars and thieves and adulterers, all that can't be there. It wouldn't be welcome there.
No.
If a person has a spirit of adultery on them, they go there, there wouldn't be nobody they could commit adultery with.
Right?
Right? Because that's not what's going to be there.
Yeah.
So, but there is a proper character that will fit there. And as we just read there about the fruits of the Spirit, you ever notice it said the works of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
but the fruits
right.
of the Spirit?
Amen.
Not works of the Spirit. Because fruit denotes further propagation.
Right.
Right? But love, mercy, forgiveness, those kinds of things. Love, meekness, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. Those are the character traits, the attributes of God that are to be in Christians.
Right.
Not vengeance. Not trying to get back at someone. Not trying to hurt someone. Mm-hmm. And I say that even as Paul was saying there, he listed all those works of the flesh. But then he talked about the fruits of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then he said, and those that are in Christ will purge themselves from those things.
Yeah.
Right.
Because see, those things were in us.
Right.
And we have a responsibility to purge our lives of those things.
Amen. Right.
So that what reigns and rules and has preeminence in our lives is the love and mercy and meekness, kindness, forgiveness.
Right.
And none of those things would mean much in the presence of no opposition. But those things have to manifest in the presence of much opposition.
Yeah.
So we have to go through trials and so forth and purge ourselves from all these things that are in the flesh, the works of the flesh, so that what lives in us and expresses from us is fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
And so not to be vengeful or anything like that, even though things would happen to us, where in ourselves we would want to lash out or be vengeful. You know, as he said, the vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Right.
You know, in the scriptures, you remember where David was anointed to be king. And you remember that little fella there that was going along and was criticizing David, and one of David's soldiers wanted to cut the head off of that man. And David said, let him alone,
mm-hmm.
Right? Let him alone. Maybe the Lord told him to do that. There's a great concept laying there that we need to remember. Because things happen in our lives, and I can tell you emphatically, the Lord allowed those things to happen.
Right.
And if we just want to cut the head off of everything that comes along that we don't like, there's a problem with that. And even David, was anointed, called to be king, anointed to be king, was going to be king. God had chosen him. He had a right to stand there and say, why are you doing this to me when God has called me to be king? But that was not the attitude he took.
Right.
He said, leave him alone. Now we know that later on what happened to that man. And so the concept of all judgment is being given to the Son.
Yeah.
So when David went along and all those things happened, he didn't lash out and deal with those things. And perhaps people all around him said, you're too soft, David. But it was Christ. It was God. And so he didn't deal with those things. But later on, when David was fixing to go away and saw him, his son took his place, then the judgment that David could have carried out but didn't was given to Solomon.
Right.
And Solomon did carry those things out. And David even said, Solomon, you remember that guy, didn't it? Well, you take care of it. Because judgment is committed to the Son. And I hope you can catch what I'm trying to say here. Judgment will happen in the next dispensation. After our lives are done here, after our bodies are changed here, then the God who lives in us, who's merciful now and kind now, then that God will be a different God.
Right.
But while we're here, we have meekness and kindness and gentleness. As I've said before, I don't remember if anybody remembers it, but Brother Perryman, precious man, and all the family there that so defied the way he served the Lord. But they knew him as this loving man. But on that day, the fire of God will be in his eyes. You understand what I'm saying? Because now that dispensation has changed, and now he'll have to judge as a holy God, and the scripture said, we will judge.
Right?
Right? But for here, and I'm not trying to tell you what that judgment will lead up, because I believe there will be mercy and things there too. But here on this side, there's a proper character and nature that Christians are to have.
Right.
And we know the time will come. And when God says it's time for judgment, then he can make that happen. But until that time, we're to live like Christians. You know, the scriptures where the apostles are like, Lord, you want us to call fire out of heaven? And what did he say? You don't even know what spirit you're of.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, not just sometimes, all the time, we should be asking ourselves, what spirit am I of right now?
Right.
When things and opposition's coming and you're aggravated or whatever, should ask yourself, what spirit am I of? This feeling that I have in this moment of opposition, what am I wanting to happen? What am I wanting to do?
Yeah.
And think about that. Because at all times, we know as Christians that we want it to be Christ. And so much of the time, we want to take somebody out or take something out. I'll have to admit to you, that scripture about heaping coals on their head, that's, you know, do good for them. I understand that part. You know, I heard somebody say, some woman said, I wouldn't do nothing. I'd just pray for them. Because the scripture said that it heaped coals, you know, and on top of their heads or whatever. And so you might can take the attitude like, well, I'm going to get back at them, but I can't harm them, so I'm just going to pray for them because that'll be putting coals on their head. And even that can have the wrong attitude. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to get at. So we should never be those who want to have vengeance. That time will come. And so we're speaking here of these attributes of character. We're not just given these attributes. They're victories. We've been told this. We've heard this. They're victories. And that means if they're victories, then that means there's battles that we have to go through. And we have to come to the place, you know, we've all failed miserably in battles. We've just, after it's over, said, man, I wish that I'd done something different.
Yeah.
You know? That's why I can show you at work. I've said it, I've got this sign up on my desk, you know. You know, Lord, be the master of every situation in my life so that I'll never have to say, I wish I would have said or done such and such.
Right.
You know, that's what I want. I want him to be the master of every situation so that I don't have regrets.
Right.
And we all have them. We all have regrets. We all have things that every person that ever walked the face of the earth, except perhaps the Lord Jesus himself, has regrets. We're not him.
Right.
But we understand that. But we realize as Christians, we should come to the place where when these things come, we walk away or we deal with them and we can walk away having and knowing that we have the right spirit about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
About the right thing. Doing the right things. You know, Jesus told us that it's impossible, but that offenses will come. We all are offended at things. I'm offended at the way the doctors and things aren't handling Brother Tim's case and putting it off and all that. I'm offended with things like that. I'm offended with a lot of things. I'm offended at this world. You know, and so Jesus said it's absolutely impossible except that you're going to have offenses that are come to you.
Right.
Things are going to be offensive to you.
Sure.
And it's not so much being offensive to you, but even as a believer, things that will offend you. And yes, Jesus said, but woe be to those who bring those offenses. And we know that.
Right.
When you offend least of these, right? Or when you do something good to the least of these. But in no place does he ever say to us, you have a right to respond anything other than what he tells us as Christians should be. So, you know, this is something that Jesus taught us, this kind of nature and character. Paul taught it. We just read some of it. Brother Branham taught this. Brother Ram tells us in a sermon called God's Gift Always Find Their Place. He said, if Christ is in the heart, then no matter how much you disagree with a man, You still got love for him and respect. I disagree with many men many times, but still I've never seen one yet I disagreed with that I ever thought any more other than to put my arm around him and call him brother and try to help him the best that I could. He says a little bit later, he says, we should never get angry or want to hurt or destroy or anything. We should always be trying to build up. That's what a Christian should be. To always be trying, even if you disagree, even if you disagree bitterly, you should love them. And if we don't have love in our heart, there's just something wrong with us.
Right.
You know, everything that goes on in your life is about what God's doing in your life. I don't mean being self-centered, oh, it's all about me, but I'm saying everything you go through is the hand of God on your life. And it's all about character building in your life. And so I believe that if Christ is in the heart, even if you do disagree with someone, you know, I don't have the quotes, but in reading some of it, you know, that even if you disagreed with someone, a brother, but if something happened to that brother, it would just tear you to pieces. And your heart would just hurt for him. That's the way it should be. That even if you had a bitter disagreement, but then you know something happened, that you'd go to that brother with all that you can to try and help. And that's the nature of a Christian. And so, you know, there's only one source for what I'm talking about. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the character that's in him. You don't find it in anybody else. It's in him, and then anybody gets it comes from him is what I'm saying. He's the source of these things. Because
right.
Outside of him, that's where mercy, grace, and all these things, it's fruits of the capital S-P-I-R-T, Spirit, capital, the fruits of the Spirit, what it bears, and it comes from him.
Right.
So that's his influence, his living through you, will produce those things. But outside of him, that's not, you know, that it's vengeance. And you know, eye for eye, tooth for a tooth, under the law. We don't want to live under the law.
Right.
We want to live under grace. We want grace applied to us. We should apply grace to others.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we're all in this. We're all trying to make it, and we're all in this together. And see, we want to cover for each other and help one another and do everything we can. Don't put stumbling blocks and make it stepping stones. Can be the same.
Right?
Right? Same stone that could be a stumbling block, you can use it for a stepping stone.
Right.
You know, and so we know like the seals were open to help us. And you say, well, what is the fifth seal? How does that help us? Fifth seals were those under the altar crying. And we understand through that fifth seal, whenever that was opened, that those people, they had been martyred. And they were all the people down through the ages, the Jewish people and those in the Holocaust. Now those people were done wrong. And they were misunderstood, perhaps, and they were martyred. And in terrible ways. But the thing of it was that when that seal opened, and they were all there, and they were crying, how long? They desired vengeance. God, how long is it before you go back and you'll avenge those that did this to us?
Yeah.
And the thing to show there is that they weren't Christians because they had vengeance. They wanted vengeance. They wanted retribution or whatever for the things that had happened. And so that's to help us understand. I see people all the time and they just have fire. I want that person to pay for what they did to me. Brother, sister, that is not the spirit of Jesus Christ. It is not. And when it comes time for judgment to come on a situation, it will be righteous judgment. Not something less. And so that showed there that they were not Christians. And we knew they weren't. And because when death didn't change them, then there they are on that other side, and they were desiring vengeance.
Right.
Lord, how long before you go and avenge us? And of course, the scriptures, we know that God says vengeance is mine. And so what I want to show here is that grace was given to them. We realized that they were blinded. They had to be blinded. Right? So that they would crucify, so we could all be saved. But it was given to them. Character, grace was given to them. When they were given white robes and it was told to them, rest. This cry for vengeance was alleviated.
Right.
So they were given white robes and they were given character to wait and to rest, knowing that God was in control. All that was given to them all in one thing when righteousness came to them, because white robes were given to them. They didn't have it prior to that, but it was given to them. And when that was given to them, it was commanded to them, okay, you can rest. And here's the thing, is that what you want to know, what I want to express to you is that when righteousness reigns in your heart, you're not wanting vengeance.
Yeah.
You don't want to see somebody suffer as a Christian. You do not want to see somebody suffer or be thrown into hell. And that's a great takeaway for us out of these seals when they were opened, to realize here's something we need to pay attention to.
Right.
Because the whole thing is to get rid of all these false teachings and through the opening of the seals for us to truly find Christ, truly get him in us. Mm-hmm. Because without it, we can't be there. Truly get him in us. And so this is one of the things for us to look at and realize that we need to check our spirits, mm-hmm, at all times and be a people who walk in grace.
Right.
They had been done wrong. And you can say, I have a right. But Brother Rem says, sheep forfeit their rights. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Right.
God will always honor forgiveness, meekness, humility. He can always side with that because that's his nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dove nature.
Right.
And then, you know, Jesus was done wrong. Stephen was done wrong. But look what, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Stephen did the same thing. They don't understand. That's what I say about the people we've known in the message that have left. And I say, they didn't understand. They did not understand, or they wouldn't have walked away.
Right.
I think that's a much better approach. I'd rather go to God praying that way and saying, God, forgive them. Help them. They didn't understand what it was. That'd be much better. Amen.
Yeah.
I was speaking to someone the other day, another minister, and we were talking about a certain minister of the message that had left the message. And I said, you know, if somebody that's nobody falls away, that doesn't have a big impact. That doesn't produce a lot of soul searching. That doesn't produce a lot where it makes us get out and say, God, what about this? But when even well-knowns, you're like, what happened? And it makes you dig down. And you gotta know that you know what you know. You understand?
Yeah.
And so God has to let certain things happen because this test that this bride is being given, there's no greater test.
Right.
She must understand the two spirits in the framework of the church, and by God's Spirit withstand the other one. And so it's not just little old bitty things that come along that she's going to be tested to, but tested to the utmost to understand the difference between the Spirit of God and that other spirit.
Right.
And how that, not just in others, but in us, for us to recognize, what am I? What's motivating me? Because even believers can get under the wrong influence.
Right.
And so we always would check and test ourselves and check up with the Word. Because the Word says it. It's so interesting that people can get off in an area and totally off the Word. Because it looks, it feels, it. But the Word is our test.
Right.
Amen. So, Jesus was done wrong. Stephen was done wrong. Paul was done wrong. Brother Branham was. These were all examples. All examples. You know, Jesus said in his day, he said, you know, if I hadn't done the things that no other man had done, then you wouldn't have anything, you know, nothing to worry about. But because God had done things, done in that day, then those people were now accountable to what had happened in their midst in that day.
Right.
And it's the same thing today. All these denominations, they all know. These ministers, you got to know that when a man goes to a seminary, there's a day where they talk about the ministry of William Branham and drill that into those men, what they think Brother Branham was.
Right.
These men know. And of many of their own testimonies, that the power of the ministry. So they're accountable. They're accountable to those things. But look at the character, the story that we hear is that in all things that you couldn't tell the difference between Brother Branham's enemies and his friends by the way he treated them.
Right.
I mean, he'd like to get to that place.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we're headed.
Right.
If we're not there yet. We are. We're headed there because that's the nature of Christ.
Right.
Until that time comes, judgment will come in its own time. And so we want to remember that. We can't have a root of bitterness in us. The scripture called it a root of bitterness.
Right.
Because, you know, things grow from roots. Behind my house, I don't know how it got there. Doors were working, all that stuff years ago to make a pad to put the house on. But right on the back side of my house is a mimosa tree coming right out from under the edge of the. And I dug down as far as I could go and cut that thing off. At least that far below the surface. And cut that thing off because I didn't want it there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back this tall now, or maybe a little taller, needs to be cut off again. Because the root was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the scripture calls it a root of bitterness. Because if a root is left there, it will grow.
Sure.
Right.
And it'll defile many.
Mm-hmm.
Root of bitterness. So we are to be stewards of what God allows to come in our lives.
Right.
Good or bad, we are to take those and be good stewards of what happens in our life to make sure that it changes us. And so we can't have a root of bitterness. And we're responsible to get that thing out because if it leaves it there, it grows. And it begins to do more damage. We have to recognize these things and all, and the glorious golden age that we have now to understand these things, and not only just understand it, but see it by example in the scripture and in our day, and to know it through the revelation of Jesus Christ that these things are real, that we are not to have those things resident in us as believers, not to have roots of bitterness, as the prophet said. Because it'll take the Christ right out of your life. The Holy Spirit will fly out there on the limb. And if you've been a Christian for very long and you've overcome things, and then there's some things you haven't overcome so great, and if you'll be honest with yourself, you can look back. If you've gone through these things, you can look back and you can say, you know, the thing that I let sit there and I didn't deal with it. That's the thing that grew up and caused more trouble.
Right.
Where I should have dealt with it back then, you know, and got it out of my life, but I didn't, and it did more because it was a root.
Right.
A root of bitterness. We can't even have, as the prophet said, a funny feeling in our hearts towards one another.
Right.
Not even just a little something I don't quite feel just between me and someone else or something like that. We are to be stewards to take care of these things,
right?
Not even a funny feeling, because that funny feeling will grow.
Sure.
And so we're to deal with those things. We need to remember that God can and does use everything in our lives that comes our way as a tool to mold us and make us. But you know, as I've said many times, if you were that pot, if you were that lump of clay on the potter's wheel, and maybe it's all chunky and all, maybe it's like a square or something like that, it goes to spin and that potter's hands begins to touch it. It's just, you know, his hands going all over the place. You can't drink out of that. So the potter has to apply pressure. And that piece of clay that wants to remain all chunky and square, something's got to change it.
Yeah.
Because the master can't use it like that.
Right.
And the only way that it takes things coming along in your life that puts pressure on you and makes you be different.
Right.
And changes you. And the thing is that people out in the world, things come along and it makes them bitter and they become horrible people. But Christians, when those same things will happen in their lives, it molds them and it makes them into something more usable for the master.
That's right.
That's what happens. But it takes change. It takes things. I don't like that. I don't like the pressure. I want to stay all square and chunky. That's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And praise God, God does not let us stay the way we think we ought to be.
Right.
And it hurts. But it brings forth something good that he can use. And we can all say, yeah, I want to be used of the Lord. But then whenever the pressure comes, we're like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we want to be used of the Lord.
Right.
I don't want to go to the end of my grave, to my grave, into my life, or in the rapture, whatever, and say, well, I never let the Lord do anything. We've got to let him have his way in our lives. He has his hand on everything that comes, everything that happens in both physical realm, spiritual realm, mental realm. And it hurts. But when you go through hard trials and things can't be the way you've always wanted and things change, you remember that God's doing something. If you're a Christian, God is doing something.
Yeah.
You know, many times you got something wrong with you and you have to go in and have surgery. In order to fix what's wrong, sometimes you've got to go through some more pain.
Right.
You're going to have surgery. Well, you're going to have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go through that in order to get the thing fixed.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, Brother Tim, probably thinking about that in coming up for surgery here in a few weeks. See, he wants the problem fixed, and he's willing to go through what it takes to get there. But I can just say this, and Brother Tim knows this, but just because I can use it as an example, don't hit the doctor. When he starts working on you and it hurts, and you would be out, but you understand the concept, that when he starts trying to help you, and it's got to hurt some before it can get better.
That's right.
The preacher has to preach you, and sometimes it has to hurt. But listen, brother, sister, it's like Brother Graham said, you know, his mother, if the medicine, if it don't make you sick, it ain't doing you no good.
That's right.
And so everybody wants smooth things.
Right.
Right? Scripture talks about people, you know, preaching smooth things. Everybody wants smooth things, but that don't change you.
Right.
That doesn't fix what's wrong with us.
Amen.
So when that doctor begins to work and it's going to hurt and brother, then don't strike the doctor, because all he's trying to do is help you.
Right.
He's trying to take a higher power of understanding and knowledge and fix you.
Right.
When I was the other day, I had an ultrasound done. It had a big sign on the wall there in the waiting room at the place. And I won't say this word for word exactly what it says, but it says something like, please respect us, or please respect our workers. We respect you, and it's a felony to strike a medical worker. And you say, well, why would anybody do that? Well, because sometimes it hurts, and sometimes the things they have to do to you to help find out what's wrong with you hurts. And so that they've, you know, I thought, well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
It's a felony if you attack or hurt a medical worker who's trying to do their job. And so you don't want to hit your doctor because they're trying to help you. As I said a while ago, we are to be good stewards of everything that comes our way. And sometimes there's things that bad that comes our way, and we are not to do everything we can to pass that to the side so that it doesn't affect us. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we have to submit ourselves to that. You know, like I've been waiting over a month for the doctors to be doing something for myself that I needed some testing on. They hadn't even called me. And I've checked on it. Oh, yeah, not even called. Mm-hmm. So I know that I could raise up and I could get wild and I could get on the phone and I could go over there and I could demand, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like that would be the thing that a Christian should do. Mm-hmm. Because whatever route I go, I want it to be Christ. Yeah. And if he wants them to have to wait a while and I have to sit and wait, then I want to submit myself to them to do that, to know that he's God, be still and know that he's God. And whatever's going on, he's in control of it. That maybe I just need to sit back and, you know, what if maybe the Lord's got something else in mind that he doesn't want me to do that? You understand?
Right.
So it's always better just to seek the Lord and just always try to everything you do, that it be in his presence.
Right.
That he's pleased with, and that you don't feel condemnation, and you don't have to step outside of the bounds of being what you should be as a Christian. That's the thing you should always do. To be good stewards, and let whatever happens in your life, good or bad, mold you and make you. And we have to give audience to that like that, because the devil is on every hand to try and use everything he can to change in his direction.
Right.
And so, as Christians, if we will just, no matter what you're going through, if we'll just get still and get quiet, and we may have pain and sorrow and things going on, and we're aggravated about things, we don't understand, maybe we're angry at somebody that's done something, whatever, but if we'll just get quiet and get still and begin to pray, and all this anger that has raised up and all this confusion that has raised up, if we'll just pray and pray all that down, get it all prayed down, and get quiet in the presence of the Lord, you'll hear the Holy Spirit wooing you to what I'm talking about.
Amen.
To a real consecrated life in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Because ultimately, this world can't do anything to us that he doesn't allow. And then if he allows it, then there must be a reason. Because he's not going to lose one of us. He knows what we need. Amen. And in these battles and in these trials that we go through, that's the only place where we can find peace. It's the only place where we can find peace in our hearts, is when we do surrender to the Lord. That we do go a route where we don't have to regret what we've done or how we've acted. That's the only thing, the only place that you can find peace and comfort, that by being in his presence and living fruits of the Spirit. And so it is by free moral agency that we have to choose. Because I read the scripture there where Jesus, he had to choose. You know, we don't think about that. It said butter and honey, I believe is the way it said it, that butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and to choose good. And we don't stop and think of that, but in his humanity, he had to do that. In his humanity, he had to feed on the word. In his humanity, he had to pray. In his humanity, he had to deal with situations. And we know that he never stepped out of being in the Word.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what we're called to. Mm-hmm. So by choice, we have to assess the things that come along in our lives and make a choice, make a decision. Feed on the Word.
Yeah.
And let these things bring us to the place so that we will know to resist evil and to do good. Jesus did it. And we have to reach this, not just reach it in our hearts, but we have to reach it, reach this place in our heart enough that we can live it. Mm-hmm. Enough that we can not just feel that way, but actually express it that way
right.
when it comes time.
Right.
Amen. We know that the Lord has a wonderful thing that he does in the lives of each one of us. But we are to come to the place, I believe, where people can say, I can't tell you the difference between their enemies or their friends by looking at the way they treat you. Amen. That's a wonderful testimony to have.
Right.
And I believe that this glorious golden age that we're in, Christ presenting to himself a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that's exactly what he does for us. You know, we live in this world, and so, but you know, as we sing that song, you know, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that's really what's happening. As time goes on, you know, we begin to realize there's really one thing that matters. That's to be in the temple of the Lord, behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. To be with him, to have, but you have to realize that the bride of Christ has to be flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, spirit of his spirit, nature of his nature, character of his character.
Right.
Or, like Brother Rem said, they'd be fighting all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so many homes, they just have so much fussing and arguing and drama and I don't have that in my home. I don't. And I go and I see other people and even sometimes some people coming to visit with us, not none of you, but just other people. And they bring their drama with them. And they bring their fussing and arguing with them. And it's like, wow, I am so glad that we don't have that in my home. Right? But God, and I thank God. I'm not boasting. Okay? I'm thanking God. But here's a character and a nature to be around Christians that they don't, we don't mean that stuff.
Right.
Those things are enemies to the gospel.
Yeah.
Strife, contention, bitterness, unforgiveness, you name it. All that stuff that was the works of the flesh, that's all enemies to the gospel.
Right.
But love, meekness, gentleness, kindness, forgiveness, and even when people disagree, doing everything we can to help one another.
Yeah.
That's the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Many of us, when the scripture said when we were out in sin and we weren't even interested in, we were sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, you could say he disagreed with us. We disagreed with him. But he still went to bat for us. And that's what we have to do. And I think really, when a person can see that you're sacrificing yourself, your life for them, even though you don't agree with them, I bet you that'd speak to them in a way that it wouldn't any other way. Amen?
Amen.
And so, it's a glorious life. It's a glorious time. When I was telling Mary this morning, you know, when I said that I was thinking of Brother Jeremy, and he texted me 15 minutes later. And when I said, well, here's what I'm thinking, I asked him what he's thinking, and it's the same thing I am. And she said, don't you love it when things like that happen? It's a glorious life.
Right.
It's a glorious life to see the Holy Spirit and how the Lord prepares a way for you. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. I trust that this has been good instruction for you, encourage you this morning that we have a God. As Brother Daniel was speaking there a while ago at the beginning of service, we all have been cut off and we're stumps. But, you know, I thought I'd take a picture of whatever, but downstairs there's a crack in the floor. And I think I mentioned this, maybe Brother Daniel showed it to him one time, but there's a little tree growing up out of that crack down there in that dark. And it's not got much green leaf on it. It's almost like almost a white or something. You know, it's a lot because there's no. But I thought, what an overcomer!
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when we went to Colorado that time, my wife and I, and Brother Tim, Sister Catherine, and we stopped, and there was this big old giant boulder on the side of the road, and this little bitty tree sitting right up there by itself. And I thought, people are so, you know, my life, why am I here? I thought, does he do that? No, he's happy. That's his home. That's where God put him. And he's standing there being the best he can be right there, just showing himself. Everybody come, enough that we'd stop and take pictures, but you know. But I'm saying, or look at the side of a cliff, and here's one little tree growing out of the side. He got no fellowship, no other trees around him, but he's still right there, being what God made him.
Right.
And that's what we have to come to realize, you know, that no matter what's going on, no matter whether other churches or ministers or other people like us or don't like us, we stand alone ourselves in the presence of God to be what God made us to be.
Right.
And that's who we are. And nothing can change that, because we are who God made us. And if God chose to place us on the side of the mountain where we're just growing out of the side of the hill, that's there for somebody. We're all here for somebody. Amen. We just want the Holy Spirit to be the one that leads us and guides us so that we express through our lives Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just pray that the musicians come. Lord, as we come to the end of this service now, we thank you for this little group, this little opportunity, Lord, to be with them and just to look into your word. And we just thank you, Lord, for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit to break the bread of life to us, Lord. We love you. We just pray, God, that you would just seal these things in the hearts of your people. They chew upon them, meditate upon them. As I said the other day, they would search the scriptures and see if these things were so. And then, Lord, may they go with it when they find it to be truth. We pray, God, that you'd be with us in our fellowship today. Lord, remember those that are traveling, those that are not feeling well. We just pronounce the blessings of your presence upon them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.